body language is changing when you talk in a microphone.
You got to own it. You got to become one with the podcast.
Who are you?
Who are you?
What is that?
You're my fiance.
I am. Yeah. And you're my fiance.
Yes.
Yeah.
By proxy.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm Ben Rigby, and this is Kate Wallace. This is our first podcast episode called Pending Nuptials.
Insert theme music here. We got to see if we can actually get that song, because it may be...
We'll be able to get a song.
Royalty.
Totally. Yep.
We may not be able to have the one we want.
We'll just get a vague one that doesn't really sound like a song, or it doesn't step on toes to make them pull it off of the podcast medium.
Or maybe you should just write one.
Add it to the list.
Yeah, because you have so much to do right now.
I do. I'm a busy man.
Hey, cheers.
Cheers, honey.
Hold on. Let me see if I can cheers you.
Yeah. So this podcast is about our pending nuptials, hence the name. We are scheduled to get married in November. But it's very interesting circumstances in the world.
And it's currently April right now, just right. In case someone's listening to this at a later date.
Yeah. So
April 2020.
Yes. All month long. We wanted to document everything going on because it's better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it.
Yeah. So we were just kind of talking and just kind of... I mean, the thing of it is though, I don't think a lot of people have the capability to record a podcast on a whim because not everybody has a studio in their basement like we do.
They don't?
No. Oh. Wait. Yeah, right? People don't have studios in their basements.
Surely you guys do. I would have sworn everyone's got access to all this equipment.
We'll take a picture of the setup and post it on our Instagram, which yeah. I will be starting tomorrow.
We might feng shui this a little bit better.
Yeah, I need to, yeah.
It's kind of ugly right now.
It's not necessarily ugly. Anyways, we're getting off topic.
No worries. So you go first, Caitlin. Who are you?
Well, yeah, so we just thought for the first episode that we would just tell you guys who we are. What's going on in our life, that kind mm-hmm. of stuff, and just kind of create a foundation yep. for this podcast. So,
kind of plant the seed as which this lovely story will grow.
Wow, so poetic. So, my name's Kate. I just turned 30.
Whoop whoop.
Whilst in quarantine.
Mm. It's one that you'll never forget.
Yeah, that is certainly true. We live in Nashville. And I am a director of operations for a relocation company, which is really just a fancy way to say that I run a moving company.
It's a really sweet moving company.
Yeah, it's pretty great. Number one rated in Nashville. Go check it out. Hashtag move on.
Hashtag move on. So that's Kate. I am Ben Rigby. I'm an audio engineer for a country artist in town. Maybe we'll discuss that later. Maybe not. Best to keep it anonymous right now.
I don't know if contract-wise, if you can say who you work for.
I won't, but there will be people that put together the puzzle pieces on their own.
Let the smart people put it together.
Let them have it. like Kate said, we are in the Nashville area. I'm 31. Thanks. Thanks for bringing it up. Kate used to bust my balls pretty heavily because I was so much older than her. All of a sudden, she hit the milestone, and the criticism has plummeted.
It's different when a woman crosses the threshold of 30.
Yeah.
With a man, I mean, not to get, like, all political. I guess it's not political, but as a man grows older, he becomes more desirable. As a woman grows older, she becomes less desirable. So it's very different for a man to turn 30 than it is for a woman to turn 30. I am now decrepit, and you are becoming George Clooney.
No. You are not decrepit.
You have to say that. You're being recorded.
Yes. It's documented.
Like I said, we're going to just give you guys some fodder for our relationship, kind of let you know who we are.
Right.
And so the first thing is, obviously, we're engaged. So how did we meet?
We met at the dog park, the best dog park in town, the Two Rivers dog park in Nashville. Currently shut down, as are most dog parks. But I had a dog for not even, I would say, I had him 3 months when I met you. And I'd be lying if I said I didn't go there every day with the hopes of catching a little something.
Catching something?
No,
like
catching the eye of something, sorry. And then one fine day, Kate showed up with her little adorable German Shepherd dog.
Well, so what's your dog's name?
My dog is Prince.
And what's he look like?
He looks like an Australian Shepherd. I can give you the long version or short version, but since you're listening already, I'll give you the long. He was sold to me as an Australian Shepherd Catahoula mix, but Kate lovingly got a DNA test for Prince one Christmas a couple years ago, and the results came back, and I didn't think that was real.
Yeah, he actually, to the point, he really didn't think it was real that he made me email the testing company to argue the test results, which they were so above and beyond. Absolutely. And an actual scientist called me from their lab and talked with me on the phone for 30 minutes to describe why, in fact, the results were correct, and then sent me a very long email about everything.
Yeah, describing every characteristic and why. This gene reflects a boxer, and this one is a chow chow. So, do you remember the brand of that? We can give him a shout out.
I know that Mars Pet Care makes it because it's a local company here in Nashville. Sweet. Mars Pet Care. Yeah. But I did buy it on Amazon.
That's fine.
And it was on sale around Christmas time.
Giving him the good word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we met at the dog park, and so Ben had Prince, and my dog Bingley was a puppy. She was it January that we met?
It was, yeah.
So she was baby. Mm-hmm. She had just gotten the all clear from the vet to even go to a dog park. And what's funny is that I vividly remember, I hear her barking,
she's barking
in the background. I really remember one of the first times that you and I walked the dog park together. I don't think we were actually there together, but we walked around the dog park together. Mm-hmm. That Bingley got attacked by that bigger German Shepherd dog. Mm-hmm. And I just remember you were very valiant in your defense of me and my pup child. And I was interesting.
Yeah, especially when someone doesn't take responsibility for their own pet.
Right.
It's a pretty black and white case. And luckily there were other people at the park that were on our side. And it was sadly someone who didn't speak too well English, so she didn't really understand what was going on.
Anyways, so met at the dog park, and then Ben, a couple days later, a couple days later, Ben invited me, because we bumped into each other again at the park. Ben invited me to go to his house to watch some football. It was a playoffs game. It was Vikings-Packers?
Yes, it was.
And the other thing too is that we lived really close to each other, maybe 3/4 of a mile away from each other.
Yeah, it was just over a mile.
Yeah, and so he was like, bring your dog, come over, we're just gonna, do some shit talk and watch some football. And I love football, and my family's from Minnesota, and so love me some Vikings.
Skull.
And so went over, had a great time, and then I don't think I actually knew that you were packing up and leaving the next day.
Correct. Yeah.
I don't know if that ever came up in conversation.
No, because that was just part of my life, hitting the road.
Well, and at this point, we weren't really trying to connect on a intimate level.
Right,
we weren't trying to have a relationship at this point. We were just kind of friends. Mm-hmm. So you packed up and you went to...
Oh, Canada.
And you were gone for a while.
About 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So he packed up, left, and, kept living my life. And when he got back, he sent me a text message, just like a leading question to kind of start conversation. And I was single at the time. And so it kind of progressed into him pretty much, I don't want to say on a daily, but asking me to come over for dinner on a daily basis.
Right. But don't be fooled. You're making it sound like I, I was pursuing you very hard and was asking you every night. It was like,
that's what I'm saying. I don't think that it was like that. No,
but I felt that it was organic, and you were just a busy person. And it's not like you're making excuses, but you would go to bed at a reasonable hour, as you still do. We do now. You drug me into your pit of sleep.
You're welcome.
But I just took it as like, wow, this girl's really got her shit together. So, I mean, I hope it works out.
Well, and for all the women out there listening, you understand that when you come home from work, there's like a very short window where your bra stays on your body. And mm-hmm. once it comes off, you don't want to put it back on. Preach. Unless you've been mentally prepared that, okay, I'm going home, I'm going to eat, and then I'm going to go back out. But yeah. if it's like not mentally prepared for that, it's not happening.
Sure.
So
I get that.
Unfortunately, you would always text me when my bra had come off.
And the PJs were on.
Yeah. And I think I actually at one point had texted you that. I was like, listen, you got to tell me like a day beforehand.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what you said.
Yeah.
Or days.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so then we went on a date.
Just slowly led up to it, like 2 months after we first met.
It actually was a long time afterwards. Mm-hmm. Well, granted, you'd been gone for 6 weeks.
Yeah,
but
that's true. And then our first date was on St. Patrick's Day, mm-hmm. 2018.
Mm-hmm.
You always like to tell the story of how shmammered you were.
I wasn't like drunk, but I definitely had
a buzz.
It was St. Patrick's Day, and we live in Nashville, which is a really big party city. And mm-hmm. I was still relatively new into town because I had just moved to Nashville that previous September. And my friend Shannon, shout out to Shannon Butterfield. Shannon had texted me, I think maybe that morning, and said, hey, you want to go get wasted with my 21-year-old twin sisters? And I was like, fuck yeah, I do. Oh, are we cursing on this podcast?
Absolutely.
Okay. Are we going to bleep it out?
Nope.
Sick. Okay. So I went day drinking with some girls and then took an Uber from a bar and went straight to our date.
Yeah.
And I will say, the liquor jacket made me very confident walking into our date. I mean,
yes, it does.
There's something about already wearing like Daisy Dukes and like heeled boots that I just had like a strut about me, but having those like handfuls of cocktails in my system really just like made me feel like I was in a music video.
You were ready to go. Although it was weird for me because I was giving up beer for Lent,
mm-hmm.
and it was almost over, and I had plenty of opportunities to go out with friends, but it was St. Patrick's Day, and that means there's a cover at the door, so I'm not going to pay $20 to like keep buying like $20 drinks of Jameson. That's nice and all, but I'm not drinking whiskey all damn day.
So, see, that's the loophole. 21-year-old twins, you get in for free.
Oh, now I know.
Mm-hmm.
Now we know. So I hadn't had a drop to drink. I went on a bike ride earlier that day. The weather was awesome, like for the first time all year. And we met up at Germantown Depot. We've been back once.
Only once.
It's a cool spot. And then from there on out, we were head over heels for each other.
Mm.
Hmm.
Yes.
Kate was the first one to kiss me that night.
I think you've let it go at this point, but I think at the beginning you kind of struggled with that, that I was the first one to make a move. Granted, it was not. It was very out of character for myself to make a move that quickly because it was like, what, an hour into our date?
Yeah, pretty close. I didn't feel so much emasculated as taken aback
because
I was in mid-conversation and you just grabbed my cheeks and planted one on me as if I was like...
I mean, look at your face. Can you blame me?
You're so nice. And that's kind of our story.
And quite frankly, after that night, we were pretty inseparable. Like,
sure thing.
Unless you were going on the road, we spent almost every night together from that night.
Yeah.
Not to say that we spent every night together, but things didn't happen until later.
Right.
Which was not by choice.
Right. Let that be known.
Yes. Which, backstory, because we're going to be fairly open on this podcast. I had had surgery on my lady parts? I don't.
Lady parts. For all you doctors out there.
I know, right? God. So, anyways, I was not allowed to have sexual intercourse for 4 weeks at the time that Ben and I had met. And so we had to be patient, which we both agree was great. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was like,
yeah, for sure.
It forced us to connect emotionally and mentally before physically.
I highly recommend it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You highly recommend having your person have surgery.
Yes. Do not start dating unless they've had comprehensive surgery with weeks of recovery.
Yeah. So that, like we said, it kind of just snowballed from there, and we were pretty much inseparable. And like I said, we lived, you know, about 3/4 of a mile from each other. But I had a roommate. Ben at the time did not, which actually worked out really nicely. And so it was basically me staying at his house a lot.
Yeah.
And then eventually he very casually one night on the couch asked me if I wanted to move in. And I said yes, because I was basically living there already. It's just that I was actually toting a bag back and forth. But now I actually was going to have a drawer.
That was over 6 months into the relationship.
Yeah, it was almost a year, because I think that you asked me, because you had said, do you want to move in after the holidays?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that maybe it was in between Thanksgiving and Christmas.
I'm pretty sure it was December, so I think you're spot on.
Well, and you had had a kind of like notion in your head that you didn't want to live with somebody until you'd been dating for about a year.
Yeah, I know. That's kind of a
but that's okay.
We were pretty close.
We were close.
Close enough.
But, you know, it made sense for me to move in because I was there all the time, and it didn't make sense for me to be paying rent.
Totally.
On top of hanging out at your house, so... Yeah. We moved in together, and then, gosh, that was January of 2019, and then October of 2019, Ben asked me to be his wife.
Yes.
At a Maggie Rogers show. I'm sure, well, that can be a topic in itself that we'll do an episode on proposals, I guess.
Ooh, good call.
Yeah, market.
Episode.
Ben, while you're editing this, please write this down, because I will forget. So we got engaged in October, and we'd already put an offer in on this house in October, because we started looking at this house September.
Yep.
Yeah, so, and that could be another episode in itself, like
for sure.
Real estate. My God, we went, and you and I have the horror story of all horror stories.
Yeah,
we'll save that for another episode. Anyways,
I have to mentally prepare myself for going down that hole.
Yeah, it was a lot, but the wonderful thing at the end of that is that we ended up in our dream home.
No doubt.
And we're very happy. Mm-hmm. It's got everything that we've ever wanted and needed. It's got space for us to grow when we have a family.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I know. It's coming, buddy. Buckle up.
Here we go.
But so we moved into our new home in November, and then the world kind of went to shit, but we'll kind of cover that at the latter half of this episode. Right. But we'll just keep continuing.
Yeah. When we met, where were you mentally in your love life, Caitlin?
When we met, where was I mentally? Well, when I was single, I really enjoyed being on all the dating apps, like everybody else really now in our world who's single. Everybody's on a dating app at some point. I think most people are. I guess I can't say
blanket statement. Yeah, it's a dopamine dump.
Yeah.
Feels good to get a like.
For sure. And so, and I was new to Nashville when we met. And so I really enjoyed going on dates with people because I was able to try out new restaurants, new bars, meet new people. And I'm such a people person that I really enjoyed connecting with people, whether or not it would, you know, blossom into a intimate relationship. But I enjoyed going out. But
cool.
I mean, most of my friends would tell you that I am a serial monogamist. I love being in relationships, and not to brag, but I think I'm pretty good at it. So, so I think that I was always in the headspace of looking for a relationship, whether or not that happened through the dating websites. But I would say that my mental state was I was looking for a serious, long-term, potentially marriage quality relationship.
I would totally agree with that.
For yourself?
Yeah, yeah. I was ready for something because I had tried and tried and tried. And then when you put yourself out there that much, you kind of get worn down with trying, and then your standards kind of get lower, and you're just, you can kind of spiral out of control when you're just like, I don't even know anymore. Sure, I'll give this person a try. But luckily, you came around when you did. It was needed at that exact moment.
What's something that you personally struggle with within our relationship?
I would say, when you're around, I want to give you my undivided attention. So that's why, like, during the day, I'll try to get as much done as I can. And then, like, spend, when you come home, the rest of the day with you. And I don't like to be bothered with anything else. And that's kind of an internal struggle for me, whether it's people calling me on the phone, because I like to have all my phone calls done by, like, 3 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And all the heavy lifting I have to do throughout the day. But, you know, there's times where you have to be the one that says, it's okay to play games with the guys.
Right.
I'm like, are you sure? You won't be mad?
Well, and I mean, when you do have those nights, I kind of like it because it gives me the excuse to be able to get in bed really early. And naturally, you are a night owl, so.
Yeah, but I have adapted pretty well to going to bed at a reasonable hour because it's awesome waking up early.
Well, to kind of jump off of that, was it a challenge for you to kind of shift, or is it a challenge for you to shift from being someone who is on the road constantly and your hours are so different, and then you come home to me where I have a, you know, 8-to-5 job and I go to bed really early and I get up really early? Is it hard to transition back into that?
Nah, I think if you've done it for a long period of time, especially doing both extensively, it only takes you a day to get back in the swing of things.
Right.
That's me anyway. I know other people that, like, the roadie lifestyle in general, I think, has problems adapting to that, which is kind of strange to me because everyone's grown-ass adults, so they should be able to adapt, overcome. That's who we are.
Adapt or die.
Adapt or die. What about you? What's something you struggle with?
Something that I struggle with, not only in our relationship, but I'd say in my life in general, which is, I would say, so common for most women, is my body image. Mm. Like, I am my own definite worst critic when it comes to how I physically look. And I like to be active, but there are definite seasons where I can become an absolute potato.
Yeah.
And I see my body change and I get really self-conscious about it. And being in a relationship with somebody, and for someone like me who I'm constantly naked, if I don't have to wear clothes on, I want to. But that being said, when I'm not feeling great about my body, I may choose to put something on in a time when I typically wouldn't. And so it's refreshing to have you, because you know when I'm, like, internalizing those kind of thoughts and, like, struggling with how I'm looking.
Yeah.
And you are very quick to come and tell me, like, how beautiful you think that I am.
That's true.
Which is what's interesting about that, though, is if I'm not in the right headspace to hear it, I think that you're saying it just to be nice to me.
Oh, no.
And not necessarily. Oh. I know that that's not the case, but just in those moments, I'm like, he's just saying that because he wants to get laid or something, or because he
comes with the territory, but that's not the reason.
I know. But it's just, it's so common for women to have those internal dialogues, and it's definitely something that I really, really struggle with.
Right. But you are not only beautiful, but you're very self-aware with everything. Like, you're one of the most active people I know. And it's okay, I think. I mean, this is not talking to Kate, but, like, people overall, especially in the current climate we have right now, like, it's okay to just chill out for a little while.
For sure.
Like, you as in the listener, is going to look in the mirror sometimes, not like what you see, but, you know, there's going to be times when you look in the mirror and you should like what you see, because you can't beat yourself up all the time.
Right.
You got to give yourself kudos when you slap yourself in the face too.
Right, right.
Yeah.
It's just hard.
It is.
Being human is really hard.
It's tough.
Okay. So kind of a cheesy question, but I'm actually curious because I don't think I've ever asked you this question before and I'm interested to see what you say, but what would you tell our future selves? Like if you could, I mean, potentially that's what's happening right now. Right. This is kind of a time capsule. Like
absolutely.
If you could circle, if when we circle back and listen to this with our kids, you know, in 10 years, what's something that you want to tell us as a couple in the future?
Man, savor what you got. But I think the future versions of us would tell us that right now too.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny.
Ooh, that's deep.
Right. Well, I think this situation with COVID, it doesn't happen a lot, obviously, every 100 years or so, but it's an opportunity for people to reflect on things that they should have done like last year, last few years, and you really don't have a choice to put it off much longer. I say dive into it now. And mm-hmm. That's something I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
But for, I would tell my future self, that's a tough one. You go.
It is a tough one. I don't know. I guess I would say, because, I mean, let's say this is in the next 5 to 10 years, and hopefully we are parents at that point. And I hope that we are able to find moments for just the two of us.
Oh, yeah.
Like, not necessarily like the standard of like having a date night and things like that, but like stealing away, like even if it's just like a look that we give each other, or if it's just like, I don't know. I just hope that we are in a place where we can still savor like our relationship. Cause I think a lot of, and I'm saying this as someone who is not, does not have a child, but I think that something people may struggle with is that your relationship kind of takes a backseat to raising children.
Sure.
And that it can suffer from that. And so naively,
yeah,
I hope that you and I are able to like still have like the connection that you and I have now and make it even stronger in the future.
Totally. We're on the same page then.
Awesome. Okay. So, like I said at the top of this episode, it is April 2020, and we are in the thick of a global pandemic of the COVID-19.
Novel coronavirus.
Why is it called novel?
Because the coronavirus has been around, like, it's got different iterations, and this one is novel in the sense that it's different.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Well, we're in the middle of a global pandemic, and we are currently on lockdown, I guess you could call it. It's
as of 4 days ago.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay.
Adjusting my headphones. I feel like they're falling. Yeah, but the state of Tennessee is on lockdown, and I think we are... How many states are actually on lockdown?
That's like, a good question. I know Missouri officially is.
Should I Google it really fast?
Yeah.
Let's find out. So do you want to, I don't know, just while I'm Googling this, kind of talk more about like the COVID-19?
So as of right now, the state of Tennessee has 3,800 and, no, it's 3,633. And Dr. Anthony Fauci has told us that this is going to be a really bad week. The next two are really going to suck. So people need to be actually listening to what the president and all of our medical professionals have to say. Keep it on lockdown. And the weather's nice outside, which is why it's a bigger problem than it should be, because it's human nature to want to get outside and enjoy the weather, but that little voice inside your head has got to be like, no, stay inside. Save humanity.
So I just Googled it, and it the statistic that keeps coming up is 90% of Americans are on lockdown.
90%. Wow.
I'm just trying to think about what you just said about Fauci and all that kind of stuff. But basically, we're on this lockdown, and it's unlike any other time that we've experienced I mean, some people are kind of comparing it to 9/11, but for those of us who weren't on the East Coast, it's so completely different.
Yeah.
And so, like he said, everybody's on lockdown, but except for people who are essential workers.
Right. Which you fall into that category.
Which I fall under that category because transportation and warehousing is kind of the umbrella that we fall under, mm-hmm. being a moving relocation company. So what's different about our situation is that I actually do still go to work every day,
right.
which as the weeks have progressed has become more and more challenging mentally for me,
yeah.
because it's not that I'm just going into an office and that I'm the only one there. I have crew members who are going out into the world, going into people's homes, touching their personal items,
yeah.
and then they're coming back and coming into close proximity of me and touching the door handles in our office and coming and sitting down in my office and all this stuff. So it's become more and more challenging.
Constant struggle.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's really challenging. But at the same token, I keep having to remind myself that I'm lucky, I suppose, in the sense that I still have a job.
Well, yeah, to a certain degree. I think you have to see both sides of it.
Yeah, for sure. But you are really living the lockdown life.
Right. But this is, it's a strange time for me because this would kind of be my life anyway.
Well, not necessarily because you got pulled off the road.
Sure. But we had a limited number of shows this year. So for the most part, this would have been it with a couple weekends here and there. I would have been away, but during the week, I'm usually at the house doing things around here, taking care of the dogs and chickens and cleaning up, doing woodworking projects and taking Harvard coding courses and playing piano. I just got out a book of piano solos.
Oh, I see that.
The other day, yeah.
But I guess it's challenging for you because you are such a project-driven person,
yeah.
and you are very handy to an annoying degree.
Sorry.
I mean, it's just like, you're just so like good at everything. And it's you, I mean, it, that's Thank a you. Different, I don't have to go there.
Everything.
Good. Yeah. But it's, you get frustrated because you're like, I just want to go pick something up from
totally.
Home Depot
yeah,
or pick something up from Lowe's and you can't.
I'm
so
inconvenienced.
Yeah. So you're inconvenienced, I guess, is how I would say that your lockdown situation is.
Which I think it's very petty to complain about, but it's still a hindrance on me when your perception of the outside world, that's the only thing that's changed from it, is not being able to just run out and get something.
Right.
But
we are so lucky in the mm-hmm. sense that we don't live in an apartment.
Oh, gosh.
And we have a pretty decent sized backyard.
Yeah.
And our backyard backs up to a river, or not a river, it's a creek.
Yeah, it's a creek.
That opens up into a lake.
Mm-hmm.
And we aren't necessarily stuck inside all day. Like
right.
I would say on the weekends when I'm home from work, we're outside a good chunk of the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
At least when the weather's permitting. But we're lucky in the sense that we're not stuck in a 900 square foot apartment.
Yeah,
my gosh.
Going crazy.
I wonder if our relationship would be taxed.
I totally think it would be. Not being able to get within, or not being able to get out of earshot.
For sure.
From the other person.
What, are you trying to get away from me?
Not in this house, because I already can. Ha
ha. Yeah, but I just like, that's something that I'm constantly thinking about as being someone who's engaged and living with my partner, is that what would it be like to be, I don't like the word trapped, but like
confined
to a small space with your person.
Yeah.
Man, it'd be taxing. Not that I don't love you. And like, I mean, selfishly, I kind of like this time with you. I mean, we're getting to spend quality time mm-hmm. that we maybe wouldn't have if this wasn't going on.
Right. But imagine couples that have not built their foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, you know, I was going to pop the question here in a few months, but now I'm stuck with her. It's driving me crazy.
I mean, it is a serious relationship test.
You bet.
For anybody. I mean, even for people who have been married for 25 years.
Right.
I mean, everybody's situation is,
changed overnight.
Yeah. And I just, I'm constantly trying to find a new like phrase to like blanket over this situation. Cause the thing that I constantly am saying is like, yeah, it's fucking crazy, man. It's fucking crazy.
Well, it
like,
is.
I know, but like, can I get a little more eloquent? But it's like,
it'll come to you.
But that's the thing that I constantly say is that it's just, it's fucking crazy. And mm-hmm. it's like, we're living in a movie yeah. and every day we wake up and watch, you know, or a TV show and we watch a new episode of our life.
Sure.
Of like what's going to happen. Yeah. It changes every day.
Yeah. I compare it to that part on Shaun of the Dead where Simon Pegg's character just kind of sees the news in the background of like a flower shop of, that there's a virus that's hit people turning into zombies. And no one's paying attention to it until finally, holy crap, we can't escape it. Here it is.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Can I ask a quick clarification question?
Yeah.
Shaun of the Dead is a British movie, correct?
Yes.
Okay, very Australian, just came out of
here. Really? Yes. It's hard for me to do Australian.
No.
I need to go back and harness
that
power. It
was very Australian. I was kind of impressed, but it made me think that I was thinking of a different movie. Anyways, I digress.
If I was to do a Crocodile Dundee impression, I could not do it. It would sound so
stupid. Let's not offend the, you know, Australians on the podcast listening trying to do impressions.
That offense is for another episode.
Sure, yes. We'll pocket that one.
We'll have the Irwins on at some point.
Great. So what was our life? What was like a typical week for us pre-COVID?
A typical, I would say, work day of the week would be Kate wakes up around 6 in the morning and gets out the door soon thereafter. And I kind of slowly rise after that, maybe a half hour later, drink coffee, kind of check emails, make breakfast, go to the gym. Oh, I miss the gym. I never thought I'd say that. And then come back to the house and work on something, whether it's putting together a sound diffuser that I'm looking at right now, or two, or fixing something upstairs. Maybe it's plumbing. Maybe it's a door. Maybe I'm working on the back deck. Yeah, probably stuff around the house, which I'm totally fine with. And like I said earlier, not much has changed.
Yeah.
But then Kay gets home around 4 o'clock, give or take. And we're thinking about putting dinner together. We watch a movie and kind of finish up the day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then what's like a typical weekend for us?
A typical weekend is...
Pre-COVID.
Yeah, pre-COVID. Just slightly sleeping in.
Hmm.
Drinking coffee and listening to NPR, taking the dogs to the park, or just a romp in the field. What would you add to that?
We are part of a friend group here that's been a huge blessing
friends.
For us.
I forgot all about
them. Oh, yeah, our friends.
Them.
We have friends.
Yes.
It's not just you and me, babe.
Oh, I forgot. Pre-COVID.
We have a really, really great support system here. A group of friends that we call the temporary friends, temporary friendships.
Yep.
That's a common hashtag that we use on the gram. Oh, gross. I hate myself for saying that.
Well, you and everyone else.
But I would say if not every weekend, probably every other weekend, we do some kind of activity with not the entire group
mm-hmm.
or a couple people from the group.
Yep. Typically on a whim too.
Yeah, for sure.
It's amazing how fast like the friend group will come together and just go with it. Like, yeah, let's go throw axes. That's fine.
Right. That's exactly what I was just thinking.
Love it.
Or like going to concerts. That's something that's definitely changed. We've had handful of things that we had planned
yes.
get canceled.
Yes.
Brian Regan, we miss you.
Yeah. We were going to go to another show. Maybe it was one that I was going to go to.
Maybe.
But they're all gone now.
Yeah. camping. We like to go camping.
We were supposed to go camping this coming weekend.
Yeah, we were going to try and go this weekend, but all of the campgrounds are closed.
All of them.
Which I guess makes sense. Can't blame them for that.
No, that's fine.
I mean, we do things. We go out into the world, and that's the biggest shift in all of this is that we can't do that anymore.
Nope.
What's your biggest fear at the present moment?
My biggest fear is that there will be a new normal. And you roll your eyes at me.
No, it's because that was going to be my follow-up question.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I'll change it a little bit when I say that public spaces will be more confined, which means like concerts in general, like if they see a successful boom on the live streaming part of it, what does that mean for like stadium shows? Are we going to get limited? And I think that's right now what I'm kind of forecasting for myself, trying to set myself up for a career change if necessary. That's like way in the future type of scenario. But if you don't think about it now, then it'll be too late.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I guess the answer would be my job security.
For sure.
Over a long period of time.
That is definitely mine.
Yeah.
I mean, I won't go into the nasty details of it, but my job has definitely changed since all of this has happened. Since I am on the executive team at my job, I am seen as a leader. And part of what comes with that is having to take hits when stuff like this happens. Yeah. And unfortunately, there was a hit that was taken to my salary this last week, which was really unfortunate, but it's, I guess, better than losing my job completely. At least that's what I'm telling myself. Sure. But, you know, the thing about the moving industry is it goes along with what's happening in the world. And, you know, we've definitely seen a slowdown, and I'm definitely anxious for what may come in the coming weeks as far as the actual life of my company, because we are a small company. We're under 30 people. Mm. And that's including our field crew. And so we definitely are the first to feel stuff like this,
yeah,
because we're right on the front lines.
Yeah.
Not on the front lines, because that makes it sound like we're doing work of doctors, which is not what we're doing.
It's a different scenario, though.
Right. But I don't want to diminish like what doctors and nurses are doing, because they are the ones really putting their lives on the line.
Right. So I'm going to give you more credit, because doctors see patients that come in and they know they're sick, or at least have symptoms, so those are getting treated. Where you and your guys are dealing with people that are just going about their everyday lives, not knowing what's going through their system.
For sure.
That's equally, if not, a little more scary.
Well, yeah, and you know, the thing for us is, because we are going out into people's homes, every morning I go out and I Lysol all of our trucks down.
Aww.
And well, I mean, I have to. It's the safety of my team, and everybody gets their own personal bottle of hand sanitizer. We've got gloves. We've got someone who's making masks for us right now, because just recently came out that we're all supposed to start wearing masks. Mm-hmm. And that was a concern of some of our team members. And so it's really, we just have to be as clean as possible, which is challenging.
Right. You're doing a good job at it, though.
Oh, thanks, babe. Yeah. Kind of a follow-up to that question of what's your biggest fear is, what do you think our new normal is going to look like?
Probably not as many people shaking hands.
Hmm.
I think people will go back to being less than 6 feet away from each other.
Mm-hmm.
I think people are going to go out as much as they can at first. Concerts, just like I was saying, they might be on a more limited scale, same way as like sporting events. But that's me being like on the cautious side of things.
Mm-hmm.
I think we will take quicker action as a country, a society, if something sparks up.
Because
this was a big kind of embarrassing moment on our part to not take action as swiftly as we did.
It's interesting that you are making yourself collective in that on our part. When it's really one person in
one
particular,
person, yes,
we won't really dive into that.
Correct.
Because we don't want to lose viewers over
our
feelings.
Yeah, exactly.
He's looking at me like, stop it. Don't say it. Don't talk about it.
Oh, you can read my eyes.
I can. Yes. That's where we're at in our relationship now, is I can read your eyes.
What am I thinking right now?
No, we already did that today.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would just echo everything that you just said. I think that handshakes are going to be, And you know, I do think that maybe something that positively that will come out of this is that people might really start to feel the need to have family dinner every night. As in people who are a part of the family unit, not necessarily people who are single and stuff. Although maybe that will spur more like community dinners with friends
point.
And things like that. But I mean, I know that's something that I long for, is that connection with people. And I mean, we already have dinner together every night.
Yes.
But because that's something that's really important to
it
us.
Sure is.
But I think that maybe the family unit might be stronger after this.
Yeah. Because it's almost like a sitcom type atmosphere where at first, like, the uncertainty arises and then the family has to stay together, and then they kind of get on each other's nerves.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it finally is given the all clear, they're like, you know, we kind of miss being around each other.
Right.
Aww.
Yeah. So since we're on lockdown, that we don't get to do all of the things that we would typically do, like fun activities and things like that, what's something in this coming week that you're looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to finally getting the record shelf together.
Yes.
Because that room in the house is one of the best rooms, mm-hmm. but it's just cluttered now because there's no place to put all those records.
I know. How many do we have?
Oh, I don't know what my collection is. Mine's...
Well, mine's under 20.
Mine is probably 300. It's right. It's not too bad.
It's a decent sized collection.
Yeah, I've seen bigger though.
Haven't we all?
Yeah. Wait, what? What about you?
What am I looking forward to this week? Selfishly, I'm really looking forward to the potential of maybe having a day off or two at the end of this week.
That's not selfish.
To spend more time in quarantine with you. No, for me, I'm someone who carries my work home with me at all mm-hmm. hours of the day. Ben can definitely attest to that.
Always taking phone calls.
I answer my phone.
Fielding emails.
All the live long day. So to be able to kind of step out physically from my office and kind of limit that, and like, because I'm definitely starting to feel burnout for sure. Mm-hmm. Like, and I know that because my sleep quality has gotten really poor. I am not working out pretty much at all. I mean, I worked out a couple times this week and we walk every day, but I'm starting to feel like physical pain. Like I've got this weird spasm that's happening in my back. And I think that that's just my stress just starting to physically manifest in my body.
Sure.
So
it's a cycle.
For sure. So I guess I'm really looking forward to some time off and maybe hopefully the weather's good. We were very lucky this weekend to have some beautiful weather and hopefully some great weather next week, and maybe we can get out and hike around or something. If we're not told that we cannot leave our house for anything. I mean, I guess that's kind of where we're at right now, right?
We are. It's the essentials. But even then, I don't like to go out because I just want to do my part.
You don't want to go to the store.
I don't want to go in the store.
Right.
Going to the store is fine, but if you even have like a Home Depot order, you still got to go inside to pick it up, whereas Kroger will bring it out to your vehicle, except for beer.
Kroger is a grocery store here for people who don't know, because I know my people on the West Coast don't know what Kroger is.
What's Kroger? What's Meijer?
We have Vons and Ralph's.
Ralph's rules.
Okay, so... okay. When you first got our emergency preparedness pantry set up, what was going through your head? Because you were really very prepared because it was weeks, maybe two or three weeks before like the actual panic was starting to set in. And you, I don't know if you told me it to my face or via text message, but you were like, I'm going to just, and technically we have just moved and we didn't really have like a emergency food, like no canned food. We're not really big canned food eaters.
Right,
so
yeah, agreed.
You were really hot to trot to go and like get our emergency pantry set up.
I tried.
And you were definitely ahead of the curve. So like when you started doing that, what was like going through your head with all of that?
Like what I should
like
get or?
Well, no, like first, like what made you like, oh shit, I need to go to the store and get stuff because this could be, because you were under the impression that we were going to go into this lockdown situation, and I had no fucking clue that that's where we were trending to. I was like, it's not going to get that bad. We don't need to get that much food. And then I was like, actually, can you get me some makeup wipes? Because if we go really into this and I can't get Amazon packages, like I'm going to be fucked.
Yes. When this first cropped up back in December, I was really, really following it heavily because stuff like this interests me because it's going to sound super goofy, but I loved the mobile game Plague Inc.
I don't think I've ever heard that.
Yeah, so it's a game, and it's basically your phone is a map of the world, and you choose what type of virus you are, and you have to infect and kill everybody.
That is very morbid.
Well, but you don't see anybody, so it's just numbers. You're watching numbers go up and down. But you can mutate. You can become an airborne pathogen. You can become water transmitted. Birds can carry you. All this type of stuff. So there's like a lot of experimentation and different ways you can go about winning this game. So to me, I was like, oh, this is like that, only it's a much slower scale. So I heard that we should kind of be prepared for this from one doctor. This was back in February. I say that like it was so long ago. It feels long ago.
When you say one doctor, is like a doctor that was on the news or something?
No, he just kind of said it in passing on NPR.
He's like, oh, okay.
We could see a full lockdown in a few weeks. Well, he was saying what we should have done.
Right.
Where I took that as, okay, well, I'm going to go because I have no reason not to.
Because when we went, when you started like going to get stuff for our lockdown pantry, was I guess China was already on lockdown. Was any other European countries on lockdown? I don't think so because you then left for Europe.
Yep. Italy was slowly starting to get it at that point.
Right.
But it's funny. I'll never forget going through the store, and there were a few other people doing the same thing as I was, acting like nothing's happening. Like, la-di-da-di-da, I'm just getting 5 gallons of bleach for no reason, and maybe some more soap and toilet paper.
Well, I still don't understand the toilet paper panic.
It's just hysteria. It's mass hysteria.
Yeah.
When you plant that seed into people's minds, like, this guy's freaking out, maybe you should be freaking out. That's how it went.
So basically, you heard like soft whispers throughout media that this could be where we were headed.
Yeah. And I took it seriously. And
yeah, you did.
Also made it a point when I went shopping to not get too many of one thing. Mm-hmm. We still have things in the pantry that we have not even touched yet because we've got such a diverse array, like the instant mashed potatoes. I would really like to try those.
I forgot about those. Mm-hmm. Those are actually delicious. Have you ever had them?
Nope.
They're really good when you're stoned.
Yeah.
Like, really good.
So I made sure to get all different types of soups and all types of, like, 90-second rice. Anything that we wouldn't get burnt out on. Mm-hmm. I did not want to be like, oh, I guess we're going to have tuna again tonight.
I mean, I will say we've gotten a little creative on a couple of meals.
You sure have.
Well, we have been creative, I would say.
I'll give you all the props, my lady.
Well, thank you. I mean, I do the...
You do?
I do the lion's share of the cooking in the house. I like doing it, though. I'm not saying that as like a dig.
Well, good, because I would also add that I am far less picky than you are.
That is true.
If
it's better for me to be the one who cooks because I am so picky.
Because if we plan a meal the day beforehand, or hell, even the morning of... You might get home, because you've done this before, and say, yeah, I'm not feeling that.
I am a food... Food is one of my love languages.
Yeah, that's super true.
I am an emotional eater for sure, and there are different foods for different moods. I mean...
that's good. I like that.
Carbs are for every mood, if we're being honest.
Let's be honest.
Yeah, I do tend to get a little bit picky. But yeah, we've got tons of canned food left, which I think our mindset is kind of similar in that we're trying to eat the food that has the potential to go bad.
Yep.
And we're keeping the canned food for like serious dire situations, mm-hmm. which we're kind of starting to enter into that time because
easily.
Before we came down here to record this podcast tonight, the news was saying, Dr. Fauci was saying, like, this is the time not to go to the store.
Yep.
Like, do not go anywhere unnecessary.
Yep.
And so we've got an Amazon order coming tomorrow, mm-hmm. Just with a couple of extra like produce items and things like that. But I haven't been to the store since it's almost been 3 weeks, right? It was the Monday after my bachelorette party. That we went at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah, we did.
But I think that was the last time that we went to the grocery store. That's not true. I went that one time without you and you got mad at me.
Yeah, I sure did.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I needed yogurt.
I'm over it. Well, I did make one more click list run after that.
Yeah.
Just got stuff that we kind of wanted. I think now is going to be the time where people actually think, okay, really, do I need more pizza and more Cheez-Its?
Because I've got all this frozen broccoli that I bought in a panic, I have to eat it. We do have a lot of frozen vegetables.
Love it. What's something that has surprised you through this pandemic so far?
You know, I would say all of the interaction that's taking place over social media and the internet has really blown me away in a positive way of like seeing how creative people are getting as far as like their interaction. So we have weekly scheduled family Zoom meetings that we're a part of. We have happy hour with our temporary friends. Temporary Friends is the name of our friend group that we're a part of. Not that our friends are actually temporary.
You've told the story already.
I know. I feel like I have to keep saying that. I'll just call them our friends from this point out.
It'll be ingrained in their heads.
Right. So taking it one step further of seeing how like my favorite artist of all time, Ben Platt, is doing so much music. And he does music on his social media platform. Obviously he's a musician, but that he's actually posting him singing whole songs just sitting at his piano is just a true gift to society. And a lot of artists are doing that, and like we were talking about, and actually what time is it right now? The ACMs are
8 o'clock.
The ACMs are on right now, and it's happening from people's homes, and the artist that you work for, I guess, is performing tonight from his house.
Now, let it be known that all these performances are pre-recorded.
Right.
But that's not making it any less credible. I think it's super cool.
It's great because, I mean, we have to find a way to continue to live our lives.
Yeah, especially music.
Yeah, absolutely. Music is such an important part of our world, I would say. But it's just been really cool to see everybody come together and get creative on connecting, I guess, is what I would say.
You bet, yeah.
What about you?
I would go the opposite end of that. I am surprised at how little a lot of people are taking this seriously, because they can either blame it on the media or just kind of internalize it and say, well, that's California or that's New York that's having that problem, not me. And the sooner people just at least try, people just try to stay at home and just do your part. It'll go so far.
I mean, not to play devil's advocate, but, you know, there are some people who being home is not a positive for them. And I think about that a lot of that, you know.
That's a good point.
All of the kids that their one hot, good meal of the day comes from being from school. Or people who are living in homes with abuse. Like, this is living hell for those people. Absolutely. And so, you know, if those people need to get out and do something, I mean, I feel I'm okay with them doing something as long as they're doing it safe. But at the same token, what you're talking about is the idiots on spring break who are just like, you, COVID. If I get it, I get it. Yes. Which, by the way, 21 of those kids that were interviewed from, I think it was like Texas A&M or we'll have to fact check that. But some spring breakers, 21 of those kids have tested positive.
Oh, it's much higher than that.
I'm saying there was like some group of kids that was
interviewed. Was like 40 out of 70.
Oh my God. Yeah. What a bunch of idiots. Yeah. What a bunch of idiots. Right. Well, you know what? While you're at it, go like lick a subway rail while you're at it. Yeah. Because like, that's basically what you're doing.
Yep. And that's going to go viral next.
Licking subway rails.
Yes.
No, but the thing is like, it's not that you don't give a shit about yourself. It's that you're showing that you don't give a shit about anybody else.
Yes.
Because you could be a silent carrier.
Yeah.
And be spreading it all around town and not know. And, you know, you could go see a family member or someone who is a weakened immune system and they could get sick. And that's
all it takes.
Yeah. It's fucked up.
But it's going to be a weird time. It already is a weird time, but mainly because we as Americans have never been governed heavily. Telling, you know, having an authoritative figure tell us to stay in our house. They have yet to like walk down or cruise down the streets and blare a megaphone at us to tell us to stay inside.
Right.
Even though recently in Hendersonville, there was a cop that kind of went around a roundabout telling people to go back inside, which there's two sides to every story. I'd like to get to the bottom of that before I make any accusations.
Yeah. During this time, what brings you solace? Like, what makes you feel safe during this pandemic?
What makes me feel safe is that I'm not going through this alone. Mm. I've got you. Mm. I've got a family that is all doing well, mm-hmm. As of right now. And I know very, very, very few people, even, you know, 2 or 3 degrees of separation that have contracted it. Mm-hmm. Now, it's still in the early stages of it. So that's not to say that that panic will set in later, mm-hmm. but as of right now, it's not running rampant, and that's mm-hmm. that's kind of nice, even though it will get worse.
Yeah, well, and tonight Dr. Fauci said that this next week is going to be the biggest week of it all, and that, that they're comparing it to 9/11, which is terrifying.
Right. We'll see when this comes out. Maybe we'll have a different story to tell.
Yeah, my gosh, isn't that crazy?
Yes.
Crazy.
As your partner, Caitlin, what is something that I can be doing to help you?
Well, Benjamin, I'm glad you asked.
Okay.
No, the thing for me is that I am having to go out into the world every day mm-hmm. to go to work.
Yeah.
And that is another like heap of stress on top of everything that's really going on. And so I guess what I ask of you is just to be understanding of like when I come home from work, if I'm not in the best of moods, which I will say you're really good at.
I try.
You're very perceptive of how I am when I come home. Cause mm-hmm. sometimes I just come home and I just cry.
Yeah. That's just human nature.
Yeah. And you're really good of just like standing there and like letting me cry, which is hard for me. But I would just say, just kind of give me like, just be patient with me in those moments of when I'm coming home and I'm just so stressed out from work and when I want to go to the grocery store and get beer and I can't.
Yeah, I know. That's going to be the number one thing I miss out of all this.
It's not like going through Lent.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Forcedly is not a word, but it's like we're being forced to give certain things up for Lent.
Yes.
Which is, man.
That's true. How come no one's posted that meme?
First world problems.
Definitely.
Oh my gosh.
Definitely.
Actually, I want to ask you that same question. As your partner, what can I be doing to make you feel, to like, to help you during all this?
You've got all the bases covered. So I say just keep doing what you're doing.
Which is what?
Which is you are there emotionally, and you are a big help around not only the house, but everyday chores. I think we share the load pretty close. So.
I would agree with that.
We both know where each other's strengths lie, mm-hmm. whether it's outside the house, which mm-hmm. is me, or inside the house, which is you. So yeah, just keep doing what you're doing. I don't have really anything to ruminate about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was our first episode.
Our first episode. And we're going to sign off every episode with, I love you.
I love you. Oh my gosh. Okay. That's barf worthy.